So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll.
7:21 Hudsonville Focus Live on the Beacon. I'm glad he's here early. He's not wearing a hat, but this is a man who's worn many hats and can speak about the things that we need to talk about. Hey, good morning, Brad Kendall.
Tom, great to be here.
I'm glad you're here, and I want to say that where you left home this morning, it was slippery, and slippery conditions where you were, so caution people again to walking or driving. Slow down, take it easy.
Yeah, I live up in the hills outside of Dover, and it was pretty slick. And I was thinking when I was driving down the parkway, as the hundreds of cars went flying by me, that really we take things for granted. We get up in the morning, just assume we can get on the road and drive. And I got to tell you, the DPW crews in Dutchess County are just terrific.
Yes.
They get up early. They get the salt down. They make it possible for people to go to work.
Yep.
And I don't think they get enough appreciation.
Right. And they were out, and the county, state municipalities were already out bright and early this morning. But your point about people just not adjusting to conditions, man. Oh, even when I came in at 5 o'clock this morning, I slowed down and taking it easy because there were some slick spots out there, but I still had the usual cast of characters going by me at 75 miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean, even over the weekend when we didn't get a lot of snow, with the blowing and the drifting and
yes.
Icing up the roads again, I saw cars off left and right. And yeah. It just, people have to slow down.
Exactly. So I said about, Brad wearing many hats over the years. And at one point, you were a tradesperson building houses. That was your career. You had gone to school for it. And so it's a good opportunity for one more plug for tonight's skilled trades fair at the Arlington High School.
Yeah, actually, I didn't go to school for it. I was walking down the road one day, I was 15 years old, and a local contractor pulled over and offered me a ride back to my house. He'd done some work on my father's house. And he said, I hear you're looking for a job. And I said, well, you must have been talking to my father. And he said, well, be at this house on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. You're going to paint. I said, I don't know how to paint. And he said, it's easy. I'll show you how. I showed up. He had a 5-gallon pail, a roller, and a brush, and said, paint this house.
Paint this house.
And I had a job with that man, Bill Beyer, who's a local contractor, did very well anytime I wanted it for the next, 10, 15 years. I also then, in addition to learning the trades through him, I was fortunate to be able to go to Williams College, which is a very good liberal arts college.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that. But when I got out, I'd had enough of school, and I went into the trades and had a great 30-year career, very successful career. Put my two kids through college with the help of my wonderful wife, Barbara. Yes, you can make a great living in the trades. You got to work hard. You got to work whether it's sunny, whether it's raining, whether it's freezing or snowing. But you can have a very good, rewarding career.
Sure, sure. Yeah, it's funny when you mentioned about painting. I had a flashback here. I guess it would have been the summer of 1965. I was, between my junior and going into my senior year at Arlington. And my neighbor needed help painting his house. So I spent the summer helping Bill paint his house. And my payment was my 1954 Chevy pickup truck.
And if you had kept that Chevy pickup truck, it would have been a great investment.
I know it would have. And I didn't do that. I got rid of it when I went in the service. But that 1954 Chevy pickup truck took me everywhere through 1966, 1967, and into when I went to the service in January of 68. And that's what we did.
Absolutely.
That's what we did. So it was a great thing to do. Once I had the pickup truck, I could, sometimes I would take on odd jobs for people cleaning up their yards and all. But that was my school transportation. I think there's even a reference to it in the Arlington class of 66 yearbook.
I can't imagine what that reference might say, but I'm not going to look it up.
No. It's okay. It's tame. It's tame. So big things happening at the DMV and the change in the points system. I get a lot of material here. It was a listener who called this to my attention a couple of weeks ago, the fact that this was really happening. And this can have some real big consequences. I mean, the one article I saw, the state estimates that license suspensions and revocations are going to increase by 40%.
Which means that people driving without a license are going to increase by 40% because people have to drive to get to work.
Yes.
And the harder the state makes it, the more people are going to just avoid the whole necessity of getting a license.
But the cost of insurance goes up.
And the driver's assessments go up.
Yes.
Really, it's a money grab by New York State. There are points involved now with equipment malfunctions that were never had points assessed to them before. The threshold on a number of points before a suspension has gone down. And the look-back period has increased from 18 to 24 months. So now you have it's kind of counterintuitive, but there's more time that those points stay on your record, so you have a better chance of accumulating enough points to get the driver assessments that you then have to pay to New York State.
Yes. And as you said, it's you know, a big money grab. If I go back, you know, way back years ago, though, it did become much more liberal in the years since. When I first started driving, if you got even a single speeding ticket, I think if it was like 20 over the limit, you'd be called automatically into a hearing for loss of revocation or suspension of your driver's license.
Yeah, and that's something I guess they're going back to. The hearings, there are going to be more hearings based on lower point values.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I didn't realize was that there were never points associated with DWIs. Now there's mandatory 11 points
under
the DWI, which automatically suspends your license.
Sure.
And then on top of the DWI fines and those convictions. And, you know, that's probably appropriate. I mean, DWI is a serious offense. But driving without a taillight, driving without a license plate light, those sort of things, you know, it's amazing because the society has decided, the legislature has decided to loosen all those nuisance laws in municipalities.
Right.
So you want to urinate on the street, not a problem.
Oh.
That sort of thing. But have a license plate light out, that's a problem for them. And does nothing really for safety. As I said, it's a revenue grab.
Yeah. The fact is that, you know, getting better driver qualifications on the road, I mean, people complain about the high cost of insurance. We have an enormous problem here that we had gotten down to the point about highway fatalities, about 36,000 a year, which is still a horrific number. That's 100 a day. And in the last 4 or 5 years, we bounced all the way back up to like 44,000.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of those improvements really had nothing to do with DMV or rules and regulations.
No.
It had to do with the safety of cars.
Safety of cars.
Cars were better built. They had more safety devices on them.
Exactly. Brad Kendall, Dutchess County Clerk, in studio with me. We're going to go out to our 7:30 break here. When we come back, we'll talk more about some of these big changes in the points system. And then there's a technology change that's going to shut down some services for a period of time, correct?
Correct.
So back in a minute with Brad Kendall on Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon. 845-831-1147 if you have a specific question. Back in a minute. I'm just a soul who's in churches of good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. 7:34, Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon. Dutchess County Clerk Brad Kendall in studio. And where do you want to start, Brad?
Let me just highlight a couple of those point changes because they're pretty significant. One is passing a stop school bus goes from 5 to 8 points. And the biggest thing we see is people passing a school bus on a divided highway.
Yes.
And I know it doesn't make any sense, but the rule is if there's a school bus stopped on the other side, you have to stop.
Correct.
And I see it all the time going in Manchester Road or on Route 9.
Yes.
And I'll slam on my brakes and look my rearview mirror waiting to get rear-ended because people aren't paying attention. But when you see those school bus lights, you have to stop. The other thing that happens now with 8 points on your license, you have to go to a mandatory driver improvement clinic.
Okay.
Not defensive driving, a mandatory driver improvement clinic. Anything from 7 to 10 points, you have to complete that. And then there are administrative hearings as your points go up. but really serious. And, you know, you can't stress safety enough for kids, but I've never seen a child walking across a four-lane highway to get on a bus.
No.
So I would hope they would look at that law. But until they do, when you see those flashing red lights, just stop.
I had a situation, well, I guess it was last year. It was toward the end of last year's school. I was on Overlook Road in LaGrange, and it was about the time when the Arlington students were getting out. And I was following the school bus when it stopped to let students off. Now, I will stay way back, you know, at least 75 feet back, just in case somebody hits me in the back end. I don't want to get pushed into that school bus. A young lady came flying around the corner. I'm sure she was on her cell phone. And all of a sudden, by the time she got in front of me, her one hand up in front of her face, oh my God, I just went by a school bus. Now, thank goodness that the bus, the student who got off the bus was walking to the right up into the subdivision there, not crossing the road to the other side, which sometimes they do on a road like that. It would have been horrific. And I don't know. I've been told that do most buses have the cameras now to record or not?
It's a district by district decision.
Okay.
It's actually a contract with a private company.
Okay.
And so those violations actually do not get points.
Okay.
There's no law enforcement involved. But it's a $250 fine. There's pretty much no recourse to it. There's no recourse through the DMV.
Right.
You have people coming into the DMV saying, I've got this stop school bus ticket from this camera arm, and we
have nothing to do with it.
Over that.
Right, right, okay.
It's privately through the school districts.
And what are
municipalities as well.
So, I mean, the stop school bus one is just huge. And that really does relate to some of the changes, I think, with respect to the use of cell phones.
Oh, absolutely.
And the fact that I'm certain in that young lady who went by me, I think that was her distraction. I think she was on her cell phone as she came around that curve, and there was the school bus. So I'll let you go down how you want to present this, but let's take a second to talk about the cell phone usage, because there's some big changes there.
Well, the points go up. Again, it's been around for a long time, and hands-free is still being on the cell phone.
Right.
Whether you have it in the mount and you're talking, which seems a little strange because now, of course, manufacturers have big screens in their cars
that
you can talk on. It's a serious problem, and I know it. I know personally. I won't admit to it under oath, but if you're in a conversation with somebody on a cell phone, you're not giving your 100% to the road,
right?
And you might look up five minutes later and say, "Geez, I got here,"
right?
It's really serious, and the conversations can wait most of the time.
So. Especially trying to read a text message or texting while driving, I mean, that's a whole different category than even talking on the cell phone.
Yeah.
It's been a number of years now, I think, that phones are able to link to the Bluetooth in the vehicles. And, mine has the ability to, you can actually read a text message on there. But if you do that while you're driving, it will display a message.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but you can hit a button and it will read it to you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Technology is getting pretty remarkable.
What else got there?
So we have an upcoming change in DMV. The New York State DMV has been running computer systems, some of which have code that go back to Nelson Rockefeller. So it's been just a progressive addition of this and addition of that over the last 50 years.
Wow.
On how to make the operating systems work. So they've embarked on a major upgrade. It's not an upgrade. It's actually a replacement of the operating system. So it's something called drives. And it's two-phase. The first phase is all the licensing applications. The second is the registrations. So licensing starts next week, or the end of this week, actually. And so to facilitate uploading all this information to all the DMV computers across New York State, we will close, and New York State DMV will close at 2:00 on Friday, because we have to balance
of
this Friday.
This Friday, okay. So then we have a 3-day weekend, correct?
Yeah. Okay. So Friday the 13th. I don't know who picked that date. We're going to shut down DMV at 2:00, and that's not just the office DMV. It's the internet. It's online transactions. Everything is going down.
That makes sense.
And that will allow us in the balance of Friday to close out the books on the old system. And then we are closed, and the internet is unavailable on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and Tuesday.
Okay.
And we will reopen on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. And so everything will go perfectly well. And
exactly. Exactly.
We just cross our fingers.
So if people have, because the registration renewals are all staggered now, you know, throughout the entire month. So if somebody says, oh, gosh, I got that, I'm going to renew my registration online, get it done today.
Yeah, not this weekend.
Not this weekend, because it's not going to be there. So if that thing's expiring on the 14th or the 15th or, you know, all the way through like the 17th or something, get the thing done now so that you can get it renewed and print the temporary renewal out on your home computer.
Absolutely. To complicate matters a little bit, Dutchess County DMV is also closed on Thursday, as are all Dutchess County offices, for Lincoln's birthday.
Okay.
It's a legacy holiday. It's in the union contract. We still close on Lincoln's birthday. So to sum up, Dutchess County DMVs will be closed Thursday, Friday after 2, and we will reopen on Wednesday, the 18th at 9 a.m. And I really ask for people's patience and indulgence.
Yes.
Because we have our staff has been doing training for the last 3 months on mock-up of the new system. But like anything new, people are used to,
so
our staff are used to inputting data in a certain way. And it's going to take us a little bit to get it back up to speed.
Right. So it's... Yeah, that's a very big deal. But, you know, I remember when you talked about keeping these old legacy systems running. I can remember years ago with, you know, our major insurance companies we were dealing with. I was over in Hartford, Connecticut one time. This is when the interface of our agencies to the big insurance companies was really happening. And I was over there for a week. It was an agency management course. And the IT people came in to explain, you know, where things were and all. Brad, I was astounded about how many different insurance divisions were running different kinds of systems, and they were trying to reconcile all of it. And, you know.
Well, ultimately, when this is in place, we'll have less downtime due to computer failures.
Yes.
It will be a more streamlined process, a more integrated process. It will allow more transactions online.
On, I think, at least two occasions when I've been in the Millbrook office, things backed up because of the delay of the computer systems out of Albany.
The camera system goes down, the operating system goes down, the lookup system goes down, and we're at the mercy of the computer in front of us.
Yes. So other DMV points you want to go over there?
I think that pretty much sums it up. I will say, if you want to know the availability and how busy an office is going to be, go to dutchessny.gov/DMV and check out our appointments.
Okay.
They're quick. They're easy.
That's right.
If there are no appointments available, it indicates it's going to be a busy day.
Yep.
And for those who might be superstitious, Mondays and Fridays are the busiest days. So if you can do midweek,
makes sense.
If you can do it online, a couple of years ago, New York State, in a fit of generosity and recognition that we needed to stop competing, made our revenue the same for online transactions by county residents as if they walked into the office. And it's been a great source of revenue. It's much more convenient for the customer.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually last year, I believe. We broke even on DMV services for the first time in 2009, so there was no Dutchess County subsidy.
Right, nice.
We thank the
state. So, Brad Kendall, let me ask you a question, and we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the county and the county legislature. You served, 14 years in the legislature?
13 years.
13 years and 7 as chairman of the legislature.
Yep.
Got some important questions in that regard. So we're talking about the DMV portion of the Dutchess County clerk's office being impacted by the technology change.
Yep.
You have lots of other services that you offer with respect to the digitized records, passport processing. Is any of that affected during this time frame?
No, except for the fact that the county clerk's office will be closed on Thursday the 12th, as well as on the 16th for President's Week.
Okay.
As will all county offices.
Okay.
But even though the DMV may be closed, the county clerk's office is still open for passports, for land recording, for legal recordings, for notary services. No
okay.
change there.
That's, I just wanted to, I thought maybe that was the case. I just wanted to realize that these are distinctly different services within the county clerk's office.
Yeah, and thanks for pointing that out, because a lot of people do confuse the two.
Yes, yes. 7:45, Hudson Valley Focus Live, Sports Report with the Zolls, and back with Brad Kendall, Dutchess County Clerk, here on The Beacon. Stop. 7:50, Hudson Valley Focus Live on The Beacon. There still may be icy patches out and about in the valley, so please slow down, take it easy, walking or driving. And if you've got some folks who might need some assistance, check in on them. And we get a little bit of respite in the colder temperatures, but the colder stuff is going to come back in overnight tonight. Dutchess County Clerk Brad Kendall in the studio with me. Brad had 13 years in the Dutchess County Legislature, 7 of those years as legislature chairman. And, Brad, the other night with the Democrats now having a 15-10, split, Democrats to Republicans in the legislature, they passed the resolution, regarding, using the reserve funding. And the question has come up, can Dutchess County, Executive Sue Serino veto the resolution from the legislature?
The short answer on that specific question is no. So this kind of reminds me of Warner Wolf, who was famous for saying, don't like the rule, change the rule.
Yeah.
And this is what happens. It happened in Washington with the elimination of the filibuster on judicial appointments, and then it got extended to Supreme Court. That didn't work out too well for the minority party. The changing of the rules in Albany will change the election date. We'll try to outlaw minor parties. The Democratic Party is very good about shaping and crafting the rules to what they think is their temporary advantage.
Right.
And I would think for a party that's been in the minority for 35 years, except for three now, well, 2 years and a couple months, they would be more respecting of the minority party's rights and the need to engage with them. In the adoption of the rules of the legislature, how they do business, they remove the supermajority requirement for appropriations from fund balance or contingency. That is the one resolution the county executive has no veto power over, because it's the organization of the legislature. The legislature is a co-equal branch of government. However, when those resolutions do come through making those appropriations, then the county executive has the power to veto those.
So that would be the individual appropriation.
The individual for appropriation.
Something. And the one thing, backing up to what you said a minute ago, Brad Kendall, the folks who are there are supposed to be our representatives. And this idea about, you know, the party, it flies in the face of that, because the people you're representing, what's to the benefit of all of us? And this idea about taking away that, you know, that supermajority to even use reserve funds, those are emergency reserve funds. My very strong sense on this, and I would say this whichever way it went, if we want to be honest and talk about, yes, we have to have respectful, bipartisan representation of all of us, removing that supermajority with respect to how you access emergency funding, in my very firm opinion, undermines any spirit of bipartisanship.
Oh, absolutely. Because it leads to one party being able to try to appropriate money.
Right.
And
which has been a disaster for New York State. I ran the numbers on this from when Elliot Spitzer went to Albany in 2006, when New York State's budget was $105 billion, already a disastrous budget back then. If I apply inflation to $105 billion, New York State's budget today would be $160 billion. New York State's budget is $260 billion, a full $100 billion higher that we, the people in the state of New York, are being slammed with because of one-party rule and a check and balance being removed from the ability of the legislature to spend our money.
Oh, absolutely. And I think currently where you have a very fiscally conservative county executive, I think we'll be okay. But the other thing about the fund balance, any reserve, is that directly determines your bond rating.
Absolutely.
And if you don't have an adequate fund balance, your bond rating is going to go down. Your borrowing capacity is going to be diminished. What you pay to borrow the money is going to cost you more, so it's going to cost the taxpayers more.
And this is, how do I say this? To lots of folks out there, Brad Kendall, listening to us right now, these kinds of things are invisible to them, or you know, lacking transparency about how critically important this is. You know, I have to say, if I had not been involved with, you know, the Economic Development Corporation and the Workforce Investment Boards, the Chambers of Commerce, my years relationship with Bill Steinhaus personally and as county executive, I don't know that I would have the backstory on this stuff to be able to convey to listeners.
Yeah, it's all inside politics. And the trouble is, there's really never a connection made between legislative action and what it produces. I mean, I think if you look at the energy costs right now, that's a direct result of Albany energy policies. Central Hudson doesn't want to charge you more money than it needs, but there are costs associated with regulations. There's a cost associated when you close down Indian Point, and then you build a billion-dollar plant in Dover with a gas plant to try to make up some of that energy. And then you say, okay, well, we don't like gas, so we're going to restrict the amount of gas that we can use in New York State. That drives up costs.
Supply and demand.
But you can stand over here and say, I'm all for climate action and the green agenda, and it never gets connected to the cost of providing that.
So you just reminded me of something that after 8 o'clock I want to make sure I talk about something that's in the news today, and that has to do with the Trump administration undoing an Obama regulation with respect to the climate issue that was, you know, this CO2 being harmful to us. Well, that gives us our life.
Well, Tom, you can take that discussion after 8 o'clock. I'm way above my pay grade.
I'm going to. But again, this is something that it can be easily misrepresented to the public about, oh my God, you're undermining the environment. No, I'm not. I'm a strict environmentalist, as I think you are. And
but there's a cost to all that.
Oh, absolutely. And the cost on that one, I have a price tag on that, and I'll give folks that after 8 o'clock.
Okay.
So very quickly going down, if you would do a recap on the dates involved when a DMV is shutting down, and these are happening statewide.
They are. There's a little caveat. Some counties are doing it a little differently.
Okay.
We're following the state closure. Putnam's a little different. Ulster County is very different. But we will be closing DMV services on Friday at 2 o'clock and resuming them on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And we have appointments available on that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday going on. So, best thing.
And then you also have February 12th.
February 12th is county holiday.
County holiday.
County offices are closed.
And again, the points system, I believe that takes effect next Monday on February 16th?
It did. It was passed a couple years ago, and it was delayed. The implementation was delayed for this new system.
It all
gets integrated into this new operating system.
And the, what was I going to say? So all these changes are coming along, and the point system will be a very big deal. But we'll look forward to, doing this.
And,
At some point I'll have you back. Some folks still do not have, you know, the real ID or the enhanced ID. We passed a deadline finally last year. It only took 20 years to get there.
Yep.
But people can still go ahead. You didn't miss a deadline, and now I can't do it. It's still out there.
It's going to be available from now into the future. TSA now will assess you $45 if you don't have a real ID compliant document to get on a plane, but you will be able to get on that plane.
Okay.
Which is good news. The other thing, get Will Tatum on. We have a great number of Rev 250, Celebrating America's 250.
Yes.
A lot of those events coming up this year. And
I will look forward to it. Brad Kendall, Dutchess County Clerk, thank you very much for bringing this all-important information to us here on The Beacon.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
Back in a minute, I want to talk about some changes coming in at the federal level.